Let's turn our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. And you ought to be able to recite this by now. We've been going through that same passage of Scripture for like the last 5 weeks. And pretty soon you should be able to recite it.
For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
All right, we've been talking about faith that overcomes the world, and we have been discussing the things that overcome the world. We had said that there's sin, anxiety, boredom, hopelessness, discontentment, and fear. Those are things that we're supposed to overcome. Those are the things that we are supposed to be overcoming. We add one to that today. Loneliness. I wonder how many brothers and sisters in Christ are lonely. I wonder. Well, I don't know specifically about all of you, but I know that loneliness is something that brothers and sisters in Christ feel all the time. Where I work and Sue work, I do what we call feelings group. You know about that, Sue, a feelings group, and Char knows about that. And we have about 20 people or so in a room, and I ask them, so how are you feeling today? And they say what? Lonely. I need you to grasp that. They're in a room of how many people? 20. They're in a group of 20 people gathered around a conference table, and I'm in there with them, and they feel what? Lonely. Isn't it crazy? And when they leave the 20 people with me, they go out to a center where there's about how many people out there? About 70, 80 people. And they feel what? Lonely. Why is that? How can somebody feel lonely when surrounded by a group of people? Have anyone ever had the feeling of feeling lonely when you're surrounded by a whole bunch of people at the same time? Lonely. But yet surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. Lonely, but yet there were 20 people who profess to know Jesus as Christ the Savior, and they feel what, Mary? Lonely. There's a disconnect. Somebody said to me on Thursday, you know, I have no friends. What should I do? Make them. Go make some. How many of you realize that if you sit around waiting for friends to come knock on your door, it's not happening? It's not happening. So what do you need to do to get some more friends, Pastor Colin? Go make them. That sounds so profound and so simple, right? And in this group of 20 people that were saying they were lonely because they didn't have any friends, I said, well, let me tell you how you're going to do it. And I gave them an assignment on Thursday. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, you're going to go up to somebody you don't know, and you're going to pull a chair next to them. You're going to say, hey, I'm applying for your friend. I want the job. And they said, are you serious? I said, absolutely. How have you been working out what you're doing? Just pull a chair up next to somebody you don't know. Say, hey, I'm whoever I am. Hey, I'm Mary. I'm applying for the job of being your friend. 10 people came back to me, and guess what? They all made at least one more. Because chances are pretty good the person you're sitting next to that you said, I'm applying to be your friend, guess what they're probably thinking too? They're lonely. And they need to have a what? A friend. Here we have John 16:32.
But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me.
There are times that we are abandoned. Is that true? There are times in our lives that we are left alone and we feel like we're all alone. And Jesus even said, the time is coming that you will be scattered each to your own and will leave me alone. However, what? I'm not alone. I am never alone because Jesus is with me. And that's that 12 inches thing I've been telling you about. That 12 inch thing I told you about. From here to what I know to here to what I believe. I know it. But do I believe it? I know it, but do I feel it? I understand it. It's not hard for me to understand. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of the age. How many know that he said that? Matthew 28, he said that. But I know it, But now do I what? Believe it. And if I don't feel it, then I don't believe it. That's just the way that it works. And here's the reality. I did a memorial service on Friday. And I said to individuals there at this memorial service, I said to them, you know, I can't make you believe anything. I can help you understand. I can help you understand it, but I can't make you what? Believe it. I can give you all of the knowledge that I have available to me, and I can teach you, but I can't make you what? Believe it. I can't. I cannot make you move it 12 inches from here to here. I can't make you do it. You can leave here and understanding all those things, but if you don't move it 12 inches, right, Mark? If you don't believe it from move it from here to here, like I told you before, you could go stand in the garage all day long, and you're never going to be a car. You can stand there all day long in the middle of a garage, but you are never going to be a what? A car. And you can come sit on those hard black chairs and learn everything all day long, but that does not make you a Christian. You become religious. You become educated. You know some stuff, but you have not moved it from here to here. And that's why you're in the shape you're in. Help me understand that. You got to move it. You got to move from here to here. What I know to what I own. What I know to what I own. As Sissy was saying, her name was Char. Was that the name, Char? Like our Char? Was that name giving me the IV? Carla. And Carla came in and she said, oh, 3 weeks ago, well, I was in a terrible accident. And she said that I hit a telephone pole during that storm. Right? And she just woke up. She remembers waking up. And she didn't know where she was. And I'm saying, you're going to stick me? And she said, oh, where's your faith? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And I said, yes, help her, Jesus. Help her, Jesus. 12 inches. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 to 20.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Teresa of Calcutta. Did you ever hear of that lady? Teresa of Calcutta. This is what she said. Loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for and the feeling of being unwanted are the greatest poverty known to man. That's worth repeating one more time. It says, Teresa of Calcutta said, that loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for and feeling unwanted are the greatest poverty of mankind. Uncared for and unwanted. Well, let me help you with this. God cares for me. And I'm important. How many believe that in this room? God cares about me and I am important to him. And I believe that. I go 12 inches from here to here. Not just what I know, Scott. What I own. God cares for me, and I am wanted. Last night when I was in the emergency room, Sissy was obviously with me. Shauna showed up. Bob and Christina showed up. Pastor Colin showed up, and people started showing up. And a lady came in. I forget her name. Nurse came in, and she said, well, how wonderful it must know to be so loved that these people come to see you. It's true. But you know what? He loves me even more. Because he was there before anybody else got there. How many believe that? He was there before anybody else got there. He was there. So do you feel the same way? Do you know the difference between solitude and loneliness? Everybody needs some solitude from time to time. Amen. Everybody needs some solitude. Can I get a what? Solitude means a time to just get a what? Get away. Everybody needs that. There are times in all of our lives that we just need to back up, get away from all the stuff, and do what? Well, maybe spend some time with God. But loneliness and solitude are different. Solitude is something you desire. Loneliness is not something that you desire. How many of you need just some time just to, you know, get away from sissy, really? Can I get a what? There are times in all of our lives that we just need to get away. That doesn't mean like take a 2-week vacation. It just means I was talking to, again, this feelings group that I have, and I was talking to them, and some of the women, these are older women, said to me that they, God bless you, they used to find their solitude in what room in the house, do you think?
Bathroom.
The bathroom. They would take a book, lock the door, and just spend some time. So, we are ambassadors of Christ that we need to be reconciled. Reconciled. Brought back together into oneness. Reconciled is a part of forgiveness and repentance. That when you come back together and you're reconciled, it's like this again. It's like this, and we demonstrated that before, right? I told you you'd be close to somebody this way. This is a great opportunity for what? Butting heads. Anybody butt heads? It's this. The second way of being together is like what? Like that. And that can be easily divided. Well, reconciled means what? That is reconciled. Reconciliation is coming back together. Everything that has been done has been forgiven. Everything that has been done has been forgotten. And you do what? Reconcile. You reconcile. And sometimes people don't feel close to God. And I understand that. So what do you need to do if you don't feel close to God? Repent. Seek His forgiveness. And be reconciled. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to John 14:6.
Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
You know, the gospel is so easy to understand. It just isn't that difficult. Seriously. Where's Jonah? Jonah's downstairs. Jonah can quote John 3:16. I heard him do it a couple times, right? Now, Jonah can quote it. Jonah really can quote it. You think he understands it? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe yes, maybe no. But chances are pretty good that he doesn't grasp the enormity of it. Is that true? Probably not. We have a young boy, he's 7. I think he's 7. Is it Micah? 7, Micah. Micah's 7 years old, and Micah said to me last Sunday night, he pulled me aside at the Sons of God, he said, "Pastor Tom, will you baptize me?" He's seven. And he called us on the phone, because we had to go. And I said, I called him, because I told him I'm going to talk to him, but I had to leave in a hurry, so I made sure I called him. I called his daddy, he said, "I need to talk to Micah." "Okay, Pastor Tom," put Micah on. I said, "Micah, I understand that you want me to baptize you." "Yes, Pastor Tom, I want to be baptized." I said to Micah, "So why do you want to get baptized?" He said, "I love Jesus." He's 7. "I love Jesus." And I said to him, "Well, what do you know about Jesus?" "Well, he died for me." He's 7. I'm baptizing him at our picnic. He's 7. And I put the phone on with Sissy, and Sissy asked him the same question, right? 7. Does he get it? Yes, he gets it. And so, you can quote it, but that doesn't mean that you're what? That you got it. You got it here, but you forgot to move it, what, Mark? So you forgot to move it to here. Fact is, it says that the gospel message is so simple, a kid can get it. 7. But yet, a theologian can unravel it. Makes it more difficult than it is. Jesus clearly said what? "I am the way to the truth. I am the way to the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the answer to your loneliness. He's it. There are 4 things that people do with loneliness. The first one is called active solitude. Active solitude is a person becomes engrossed in some kind of activity that they enjoy, which enriches their lives. They become entrenched in it, like listening to music, reading, exercising, and that's a positive reaction to loneliness. Some people are lonely and they find something to do with their time. How many understand that? That's what you do. And that is called active solitude. The second is called social action, such as calling or visiting a friend or a relative, helping someone less fortunate than yourself. It is a deliberate action that breaks the isolation and involves you with others. The third one is called distraction, doing something to take our mind off our sense of loneliness, like going for a drive, going for a walk, going for a jog, going shopping. That's a neutral reaction, but this is the worst one. It's called sad passivity. Sad passivity. This is the one where one continues to feel badly and does nothing to positively impact the problem. This can lead to a downward spiral of depression and often includes sleeping too much, overeating, and self-medication. That's the four things that people can do with loneliness. Everybody at times feels lonely. We're human beings. That's the way that it works. But what we do with our loneliness makes the difference. Loneliness is being unaware of the one who is with us everywhere. Croft M. Pence said this: many Christians suffer from loneliness because they are sitting instead of serving. Isn't that true? It said many Christians suffer from loneliness because they are sitting rather than what? Serving. Rather than serving. Francis J. Roberts said, "The soul that has been enriched by communion with God will not be dismayed by isolation, but will welcome solitude. He will seek not the crowd, but the closet. And emerging will never walk alone, for he has his unseen companion for the rest of his life." F. Andrews said in 1682, "The soul that is growing in loneliness is the least lonely when it is most alone with Jesus." Everybody goes through these things. Let's look at John 14, 21 to 23.
"Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, 'But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus replied, 'If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him."
When we are deliberately disobeying God, you're never going to feel close to him. You won't. When you are doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing, how can you feel close to God that way? In fact, most people, when you do something you don't want to do and let people know you're doing it, usually do it by yourself, don't you? Turn the lights off, theoretically. Don't let anybody know. But how can you feel close? You can't. You can't feel close to God that way. Back to that concept of those 20 people I told you about, I said to them, because they said they feel lonely, and I said to them, "Well, are there ever times in your life that you feel that God is not with you?" And guess what most of the 20 people said? You want to say no, huh? They said yes. They said there are times that they don't feel close to God. There are times in their lives that they feel abandoned by God. Maybe some of you have felt that way too. There are times you feel like God is off doing some important thing and he doesn't have time to spend with me. Well, in the times that you feel that way, Jesus didn't leave you. You left him. You left him. The example I like to give, especially to the men at Teen Challenge, the example I'd like to get is, you know, you cannot be looking at the stuff on the computer that you shouldn't be looking at, feeling close to God at the same time. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. When you're entrenched in that, you abandoned him. Help me understand that. That's the way it works. When you're doing that, you're not going to feel close to him. There's no way you can. There's no way you can. And so when you are doing whatever it is that you're doing with a direct opposition to what he says that you should do, you will feel not close to God. That's the way that it works. Acts 2:47.
"Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
We are part of a large family. We really, truly are. We are part of a very large family. Now, I know that you know it, but do you believe it? Scripture says, I will give you more brothers and sisters than you ever thought possible. How many have more brothers and sisters today than you did when you were first born? I'm serious. How can you feel alone with all those brothers and sisters? How can you possibly feel alone? Unless, of course, you what? Choose to be alone. On August the 2nd, we're going to have the backyard blessing. It's open to who, Bob? Everybody. It's open to everybody. There'll be hundreds and hundreds, maybe millions, I don't know. Millions are going to come and see the praise team, I don't know. But there will be a lot of people there. There will be a lot of people there. And I can assure you this. You can take this to the bank. How many guys are going to be there? The chances are pretty good when we're there, we are not going to feel alone, are we, Mark? No way. You'll be so busy, you won't have a time to feel all alone. You'll be looking for some solitude before the day's over. So why is it that we don't stay connected with our brothers and our sisters? Why don't we stay connected? Why don't we get involved? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2.
Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity.
Okay, now I need you to take a look at that passage of Scripture. That's very important. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Which means older men we treat as our what? Our fathers. As our fathers. Younger men we treat as our brothers. Older women we treat as our mothers. And younger women we treat as our sisters. Anybody see a resemblance to a family up there? You know, I'm not the smartest one here because I fell off a ladder twice. So up there we see we have fathers, brothers, mothers, and sisters. And where are they located, you think, yo?
Right here.
Right here. They are right here. Right here. They are right smack dab right here. Brothers and sisters, right here. How many of you brothers and sisters would spend an afternoon with somebody if they called you? Who'd spend some time with them? A lot of people here want to spend time with some folks here, right? How many brothers and sisters here have time to go get a cup of coffee with somebody if they called you? We have time. How many will make the time to go out with somebody? We got lots of people. We got like maybe 20, 30 people. Hey, yeah. We got folks here. Brothers and sisters. Let's turn our Bibles, please, in Matthew 6, 5 to 6.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
There are times that it is good to be alone. And we go off into our prayer closets and we spend some time with the Lord. So are we alone? No. We're not alone. It's time to get away from the crowd, right, Pastor Eddie? Go into the private place. How many have a prayer place or a prayer closet or a prayer place? Well, you know what? It's time just to get away and spend time with Jesus. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We all need to do that. There's no question that we need to do that. But do we need to do that 24 hours a day? No. There's a time that we need to get together with who? Our brothers and our sisters, too. There is time that we need to get with our brothers and our sisters and fellowship with them. How many like fellowshiping with your brothers and your sisters? Man, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's just nothing on earth like it. Let's turn to Matthew 20. 25 to 28.
Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
I told you that many Christians suffer from loneliness because they're sitting instead of what?
Serving.
There's no way you can feel lonely when you serve somebody else. It is not possible. It's not possible. If you get up and go do something and go serve somebody, you will not be lonely. How many say amen to that? There's just no way you can feel lonely. There's no way that you can. And so we come into a very weird place with the whole concept of loneliness. We come to a very strange place. Back to that example of those 20 people that I counsel in this group. The 20 people that feel lonely, guess what they're doing about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. So how long will they feel lonely?
Forever.
As my sister Robin has said to me so eloquently today when I fell off the ladder twice, she said, if you continue to do what you have always done, right? Or if you do not make a change, how can you expect a difference? And so if we do what we've always done, you'll be where you always are. That's the rules. That's the law. That's the way things work. Right, Sue? If you do what you've always done, guess where you'll be, Butch? Where you always are. That's what will happen. That'll happen every single time. So what do you need to do? Make a change. Do something. Make an effort. Let's do the last one. Hebrews 13:56. Okay, Sissy.
Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
I don't even know what to add to that. I really don't. I really don't know what to add to that. Well, amen. I should listen to you. You said, don't get on the ladder a second time. Amen. Amen. Okay, the church picnic is when?
27th
to July. Lots of stuff to do. Lots of stuff to do to get involved. July the 27th, we got some stuff to do that day. Don't we? We got lots of, you're not going to feel lonely on that day. August the 2nd, the backyard blessing. Millions of people there. Well, a couple hundred at least. You can get involved. You will definitely have something to do. You will not feel lonely. I can guarantee you, fun for all. We're going to have a prayer tent set up. Serving people. The praise team is going to be there. 7 bands are going to be there. Woo! The food is all free. There's not a cost to anybody for this whatsoever. Come out and have a good time. And I bet you won't feel lonely on that day. You will not feel lonely on that day. Next Friday night, men's challenge. 30, 40 guys get together. Eats are free. Good eats too, right? Free to eat. Oh, man, come there and just worship and praise God with a bunch of other godly men. You won't feel lonely if you come there. You will not feel lonely if you come there. I guarantee you that. Huh? Oh, yeah. And Sissy has a women's ladies' night out next Friday night. This coming Friday, probably something else, right? And so Sissy's been getting together with the ladies. They go to the movies. They go out to dinner, whatever. You know, hey, you're a lady and you want to go with Sissy? Hey, you won't feel lonely. So here's the question I have to ask for you. And I've been doing this like a really, really long time. So many times people will say to me, well, why don't you offer anything? Are you serious? How many times I'm being stone serious. How many times people call me on the phone and say, well, we need more stuff to do because there's nothing to do in the church. I go, what? I don't make this stuff up. Well, did you consider the Wednesday night Bible study at Sandy's house? Did you consider the Thursday night study at Pastor Ed's house? Did you consider the men's challenge? Did you consider the Sunday night with me, the teen challenge? Did you consider the Light of Life homeless shelter? Did you happen to consider the flea market? No. Well, why not? For a small church, we're doing lots of stuff. How many say amen to that? My calendar is full. Sissy and I long for some solitude. I'm serious. Sunday morning, we got a Bible study. Pastor Carl leads it. How many know we got stuff to do in this church? There is stuff to do. Don't blame me if you choose to what? Not do it. And there's something almost every night of the week, so don't tell me you're busy every night of the week and you're lonely. That's a disconnect. How can you be busy every night of the week but yet looking for something to do? Does that make any sense? Does it? No. So do we have things to do in this church? Yes. I can name you at least 10 things that you could get involved in that you could absolutely sink your teeth into and feel like you're close to God. How many say amen to that? At least 10. But you know what I see every single time? And I don't mean to insult anybody, I don't want to insult anybody, but it's the same people every single time, same people doing it. And guess what those same people have in common with each other? They are not what? Lonely. They're not lonely. Busy, 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 busy. Fact is, I had a person say to me about 15 years ago, the church is full of cliques. I said, cliques? What do you mean cliques? I'll make this up. The church is full of cliques. Well, define them for me. Well, you got that music team clique. Oh. That's a clique? Well, yeah. And then you got that prayer team clique. Oh. And then you got that Wednesday night Bible study clique. Really? Really? They see people talking back and forth, right? Like maybe Robin and Yo and me and Sonny and Char and Kathy and Sarah and Mike, we're, you know, huddled over in a corner over there and we're talking, we're like a clique. I don't make this up. I don't make this up. Well, you have that little clique. No, we're trying to figure out what we're playing. Because I forgot. That's the way it works. How do you understand that? That's not a clique. It's a group of people coming together for the same common goal. Doing ministry for the Lord. Well, you got that men's challenge clique. Yeah. It's Mark and you, Pastor Tom, and it's Bob, and it's Mike, and it's Mike, and you know some others, and Scott, and you got a well. Guess what? You're invited to the clique. Come on in, brother. Come on in. Well, that's fine. That sissy man, she's going out with 4 or 5 ladies. That's because she asked 25 of them, and only 5 said what? Yes. You have the opportunity to get involved. But if you choose not to, whose fault is that? It's yours. Let me help you with this. I've been telling you the last 5 weeks or so that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And I've been telling you that the things that we need to overcome are what? Despair, discontentment, not being satisfied with you or what you have, anxiety, fear, all that stuff, loneliness. Well, this is leading to a climax. If you have all of those things in your life and it spirals and spirals and spirals and spirals, guess what it leads to? Depression. It leads to depression. If you are lonely and you are bored and you are not happy with your life and you are fear and you have anxiety and you have all those things, guess where that goes, Pastor Ed? Depression. And when you go see somebody for depression, and I'm certainly not suggesting that you don't take your medication. I am not suggesting it. It's on tape. I didn't say you shouldn't. But what I'm saying is that you should work on what? Work on, don't be lonely, don't be discontented, don't have fear in your life, get rid of the anxiety, quit being so bored, and guess what happens to that depression? It's gone. Because you're so busy. Your life is full of joy. Your life is content. Next week we're going to work on the next to the last one. Next week will be grief. Faith overcomes grief, and then we'll move on to you put those all together, and we're going to overcome what? Depression. I'm going to teach you how to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be living an abundant life. We really do. But Lord, the choice is ours. Lord, you gave us this day today. You gave it to us. But Lord, we get to choose how to have it. We choose it. It's a choice. It's a choice. We choose it, Lord. You give it to us, and then we choose how to have it. We choose it. And Lord, if we're in such a situation in our lives, we have clearly got to understand that we can make a choice to get out of that too. By faith, 12 inches, by faith, out of what we know and into what we believe. Lord, help us to overcome these things in our lives. And all of God's people said, Amen.